Today, December the 10th, and I'm sure Mike would be outside in his swimsuit, as cold as he's had it up north. This is warm to him, 16 degrees, and that's probably not including the wind chill. But it's good to see everybody, and tonight is my turn to dispense a little truth, and it's my prayer that is done. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, as always. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are, for all that you do, and for all that you continue to do, Lord, with us and through us, and that you've done for us. And Lord, I thank you for that you did for us on the cross, and Heavenly Father, that you did for us from before the foundation of the world, that where you set the body of Christ aside and made us members thereof. Lord, I ask that you be with me as I deliver this message tonight, in the hopes that it brings nothing but just understanding and pure joy to you, dear Heavenly Father. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Again, good evening, saints. Let me get my sword searcher turned up here so I can see what's going on. And I'm still in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. And my last study, I finished up the armor of God, or at least the last item of the armor of God. And tonight, I'm going to be focusing my study on Ephesians 6:18, which pretty much gives solidity to every piece of armor that is mentioned, because this prayer and supplication that Paul mentions here is basically for that armor that is to be used by each and every member of the body. But I would like to start at 6:11 and read through 6:17 to just get a start on it, to see where we are concerning the prayer. So, as members of the body, we're to put on the armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because this wiles, the devil is nothing but lies and deceit. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not normal people that we wrestle against, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and that is Satan and his minions, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole panoply of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then it starts up, says, stand therefore, your loins girt about truth. Can Gary hear me? Maybe he can't, but everybody else can, I'm assuming. So, stand therefore, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And now this breastplate protects a very vital organ, which is our heart. Because our love comes from our heart, and every organ that is protected with this panoply of God, the body can't function without either one. Okay? But having the breastplate of righteousness protects the heart. And I pointed out that the righteousness is Christ. Every item of protection that protects the body is Christ. And I missed the loins girt about with truth. And the loins there is there to strengthen the body. What you take in? You take in the Word of God, which is Christ. You take in the Word of God, and it strengthens the body from within. Your loins are the strongest muscle that's within the body. And it just strengthens the entire body. And then we go to 15, and have your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. There's not to be wrath or clamor or anger within the body, but it's to be spread with the gospel of peace, which is Christ. And I showed where Christ is our head and our example, and Paul is our example, how they withstood with peace. They used peace throughout their ministry. And above all, in 16, above all, above the entire body, taking the shield of faith. Again, that shield is Christ. Wherewith you will be able to stand, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the javelins, the lies and the things that can divert a body away from the truth, because it's Satan's desire to lead any and everybody he can away from the truth. And in 17, helmet of salvation. This helmet of salvation is Christ. The saving knowledge of Christ. The knowledge that once you're saved and accept Christ as your Savior, you are then sealed from that point on with the helmet of salvation. It protects your brain. It keeps, again, it's another item that the body can't do without. You take the brain away from the body, and the body just falters. It's no good. So you put on the helmet. You put on Christ. Every article that we have as far as armor is Christ. And then the only piece of armor that is to be used aggressively is the sword of the Spirit. We're supposed to take the Word of God and use it aggressively, because it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because in John 1:1, we all know this probably by heart, "For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And in the Greek text, "And God was the Word." So when we take this Word and use it rightly divided, we can use it as an instrument. When a lie comes our way, all we have to do is look into the Scriptures and rightly divide. And by rightly dividing, you're using the sword. You're rightly dividing that Word and putting it in its proper place and just fulfilling God's Word and using the sword. And then we get into 18, which is my study tonight. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication," thanks Chip, "in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints." You notice several times, three times there, the word "all" came up. That's not just one or two or five. That's all. That is every single one. Okay? So, the interlinear as, and this is the original Greek wording, by all prayer and supplication, praying in every season in the Spirit, and unto this very thing, watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, now, it says by all prayer and supplication. Okay, supplication is used two times here. This is the only time supplication is used in the Ephesians letter. Always, it's in every season, and Paul also uses this in as the same words that Jesus used in Luke 21 when Jesus was explaining to the disciples the end of times, what was going to happen at the end of times. And without reading the entire chapter of 21, in 21:36, Paul quotes Christ when Christ says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." So you see, Christ is telling his disciples, and now Paul is pretty much saying the same thing to the body of Christ, to use this armor of God. When it comes to that evil day, we are to stand in that evil day using this armor in the same way that Christ was telling his disciples, so that you can do things that shall come to pass. And then praying always with all, and that is every kind of praying always with all prayer and supplication. And supplication, it's used 17 times in Paul's writings and 9 times in the last 7 books of Paul that we understand as the last 7 books. It's a petition. It's a prayer request or supplication. Then it's taken from the form 1189, which is diomai, with the middle voice of 1210, which is to beg, as binding oneself. It's a petition, beseech, to pray, to make request. And it's a primary verb, to bind. And various applications, literally or figuratively, figuratively, to be in bonds, to knit, to tie. So, supplications is a very earnest prayer, a request. The 9 times that it's used in, the 9 times that it's used in Paul's 7 books, see Thistle paste real quick to keep the continuity going. It didn't do it. Anyway, the 9 times, Chip will have to fill in if he can. Philippians 1:4, it says, and here's the word supplication used in the diesis. It's the prayer. The word prayer is used in place of supplication. It says, always in every prayer of mine, making for you all, making request with joy. And scroll on down to 19, Chip. Philippians 1:19. It says, for I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer That's deasis, which is used as supplication, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, supply here is not supplication, but it's epikoregia. It's a furnishing upon, further supply, or a super addition, hence aid or help. See, in 19, it's, for I know this shall turn to my salvation. Paul knew that it will help his salvation for the supplications of the prayers and supplications in Philippians here. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. In 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, excuse my phone. That's a crazy little minion that's in there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be not made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Can you see the helmet of salvation working here? Because I can. I can see the helmet working. I can see the peace working. The feet shod with the gospel of peace. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers. You notice there's a difference. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet life in all godliness and honesty. And 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. In 1 Timothy 5, 4 and 5, we have another one. But if any widow have a children or nephew, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she is that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. So she's supposed to not just pray, but to pray with supplications, an earnest with expecting of receiving or giving something. And in 2 Timothy 1 through 3, 2 Timothy 1, 3, I thank God who I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing is adialitos, which is unintermitted or permanent, continual. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And that's just not prayers, but that is the same Greek form, deasis, for supplication. That is an earnest prayer. Not just your standard prayers. There is a difference between a standard prayer that when we pray openly in opening up a service of some kind, that's an open prayer. But when we get on our knees, or when we're earnestly praying for someone like Ron when he's overseas, and we're earnestly praying that the Lord can give him the shield of protection to guide him, even though he's half the world away from us, I have no problem knowing that the Holy Spirit is there with Ron, as everybody in the body is praying for Ron with supplications. There's a difference between supplications and prayer. And when some people have a problem with, let's just say that we've had people in our conferences that have a problem with praying for traveling races and such. And to this day they still do. But when we look in Romans, and this is a prior dispensation, this is definitely a prior dispensation, but in Romans 8:25 through 28, I think it's more than dispensational. I think it's practical. You know, I think this is one of those practical truths that just holds solid from the time Paul wrote it to Rome to this day. And it says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart, that's God, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit of that heart, because he maketh intercession for the saint according to the will of God. So whatever we ask in supplications and prayers, the Holy Spirit is our voice between us and God. In 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Again, I feel that this is not just dispensational, and I could be wrong, but I feel this is not just dispensational truth. I think this is truth from the time Paul wrote it till today that can be used as understanding Scripture and understanding how prayer works with God. Getting back to Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now that, if I can get this one pasted. Now in the Spirit, I've got seven verses wrote out here, or picked out, that's in the Ephesians letter. And all of these are in the Ephesians letter to express the importance, okay? The importance of us, of how the Holy Spirit affects us, the body of Christ. The Ephesians letter is to the Ephesians and to the body, or Ephesians 1, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ. Okay? Okay, in Ephesians 1:13, we'll see that we are sealed with the Spirit, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, and you see that word believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. How important is this Spirit to the body? Now, that's just one. The second one is 1:17. And this is, gives us the Spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of Him. That the God of our Lord Christ Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is through the Spirit. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit guides us. And the next one, Ephesians 2:18. For through Him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. One Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit is so important. The next one. Ephesians 3:5-6. Which in other ages was not known to the sons of men. This is something that was hid from all ages. This was hid from all ages. And it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets. By the Spirit He was talking to the apostles and prophets. And they passed this knowledge on to us. By the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. This is part of the mystery, people, and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. By the Spirit. You got that? Let's get it sunk in real good. By the Spirit. Ephesians 3:16. Strengthened with might by the Spirit. That He would grant according to the riches of His glory. That's an awesome statement. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Where is that going to be? In the inner man. Strengthened with might. This is His might now. This is not our might, but it's strengthened with His might within us. Okay? In 6:17, and I just went over this a few minutes ago. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I expressed a while ago how important that sword of the Spirit is. And then in 2 Timothy 1:7, I'll throw this one in. God has given us the Spirit of power. He's given us the Spirit of love, and He's given us the Spirit of sound mind. He has not given us the Spirit of fear. For God hath not given us the Spirit of fear, but of power, a Spirit of love, and a Spirit of sound mind. Now this, in the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in 6:18. That's to be joined with praying. In the Spirit, to be praying. As He, Christ, is in us as the Spirit of adoption, who prays and enables us to pray. And watching. That's not sleeping, but watching. Watching unto to view with prayer and supplication. As with all perseverance. Now that perseverance is proskuneresis. Proskuneresis. This is the only time that this is used in Scripture, okay? This perseverance is the only time it's used in Scripture. It's the strongness or firmness toward anything. It's endurance in or with anything. And that's for all saints. Because as nobody is as perfect as not to need the intercessions of his fellow Christians. So the prayer and supplications for all saints. A body member said that it seems prayer, in true biblical terms, may have to do more with His will and purpose and proclaiming His truth. And I totally agree with that. Another says, Paul could obviously do more to spread his truth to the Philippians much more efficiently outside of prison rather than in prison. So I can see the need for prayer for Paul so that ultimately he could go back to the Philippians. You see, there's prayer and supplication allowing Paul to be delivered back to the Philippians. Well, Paul was delivered from harm many a times. Now, this is prior dispensation, but he was delivered many a time. Unlike others, I do believe praying for safe travels to and from, whether conferences or whatever, are legit. Because the speakers that are traveling to these conferences are doing God's will. And also, I think of prayers as a personal conversation or a request with the Father. Amen. We all are taking personal conversation with our Father. And the Holy Spirit is delivering that conversation to the Father in the way that the Father expects it to be heard. And the Holy Spirit takes it and delivers it better than I could even think of, because I know from my own self, I do not do well with public prayer, or at least I feel totally uncomfortable with public prayer. As some of the speakers are beautiful prayers, and they pray from the heart, and they do it so well, I can't even get into it. But only the person that prays the prayer can see the working of God. I know that the Heavenly Father is silent today. The Heavenly Father is not working with outwardly working of signs and miracles. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. But I also know that I've seen prayer work in my life. I've seen personal prayer work in other people's lives. Just a couple of Paul's own prayers in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. Let's see what he's working at. Okay. I exhort in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. I exhort, therefore, and we have some children coming in, so y'all might hear a little noise as Candy corrals them up and heads them toward the bedroom. Hope they're not too loud. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that, I even got dogs going crazy out there, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Is it a mediator? God is the one, Christ is the one that goes between man and God, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The word intercession there is the act of interceding, naturally, mediation, interposition between parties at variance with the view to reconciliation. it's a prayer or solicitation to one party in favor of another, sometimes against another. And the Strong's number 180-1783, Antiochus, used only two times in Scripture, and both in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:1 and 1 Timothy 4:5. It says, "For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." And you notice it's Antiochus, prayer. So, "For it is sanctified by the word of God and intercessions." You could put intercessions because it's the same Greek form as it is in 1 Timothy 2:1, where it says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, and intercessions, Antiochus, and giving of thanks be made to all men." These dogs, I'm going to hang them on a pedestal somewhere. And to, got a few more things, couple more things here to finish up. Let's go to Colossians 1:9. Now, there's other prayers of Paul that I could probably go through in Philippians and two in Ephesians, but I'm going to do Colossians 1:9. "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." This is a common prayer of Paul. And this is a prayer that we should be praying on a daily basis. In 2 Timothy 4:16 to 18, I hope I didn't really go through that. Because at 18, and 18 is a very strong statement. In 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsake me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from evil work." You see that the Lord shall deliver me from evil work, and that is through all these prayers and supplications, "and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom glory be forever and ever." And in Philippians 1:9, it's like Colossians 1:9. Philippians 1:9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment." In Colossians 4:2-3, "Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving." Just like in Ephesians 6:18, "With all praying for us, that God would open us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." If prayer is put first, then God is put first. If prayer is put first, then God is put first. And victory is assured. Prayer must either reign in the life or must abdicate. Which shall it be? According to Paul, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, all these elements of prayer and forms of prayer are to be offered for men. Prayer is offered for things, for all things. for all temporal good and for all spiritual good and grace. But in these directions, Paul rises to the highest results and purposes of prayer. Men are to be affected by prayer. Their good, their character, conduct, and destiny are all involved in prayer. In this regard, prayer moves along the highest way. We pray according to God's will. And I understand that. I know that when I pray, I'm praying for God's will be done in everything. No matter, and prayer is not to be done selfishly. Not to be done for yourself. When you pray for yourself, it is to retain knowledge for His purpose. That's, to me, that's the only time we are to pray selfishly, is to pray for knowledge, to further His gospel, to further His truth, to help spread the mystery, to bring forth the filling of this body that we are so earnestly looking to appear. Paul's teaching is to the effect that prayer is essentially a thing of the inner nature, the spirit within us. So, Paul says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere without wrath. That's in 1 Timothy 2:8. Is a term which denotes by implication punishment, indignation, vengeance. This prayer we're to guard against and suppress them. Because we're not to pray angrily. Remember, we are supposed to pray as Christ would. Pray for love. Love one another. Love your brother. Man cannot pray with these natural feelings rising in him, cultivated, cherished, and continued there. Prayer is to be without these, without wrath. It's to be higher, better, and nobler inspiration, or to be lifted prayer upward. Wrath depresses prayer and hinders prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for this evening. And Lord, I thank You for helping guide me through this study. Lord, I thank You for the people that made it here. And Lord, I ask with a humble heart to search the hearts of the people that are here, to search the hearts of all saints within His body, to see those that need encouragement, to if there be a healing, Lord, to You to get within this person and make it a personal thing with them. And Lord, I thank You for all these. And Lord, I ask that You to watch over those that are traveling. For it's in Christ's precious holy name I pray. Amen.